Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. It's hour number five of the nation. We are just over an hour now from the start of the 2025 college football playoffs. Pretty exciting, Brian.
Yeah, congratulations to Tim and Carthage. Looks like you're going to get your 11th state title here, 49-0.
Man, Holy cow.
They've had some – these games haven't been as exciting as we've seen in the past.
The game before this was 10-0.
That's what I'm saying.
Back-to-back shutouts.
We've seen some games that have not, the scores have not been great. Oh, we're already going with the Gatorade bath with 4:30 left in the game.
Yeah, 7-score lead with 4.5 to play.
I wonder if the coach, okay, at what point in time, these are high school kids, right? And they probably got some coach who's won multiple titles. And I could see this being very Bill Belichick-like, like he's not too happy that he has to sit there with 4 minutes to go in a game.
Soaking wet.
Yeah. I think he's wearing, let's see what he's wearing. He's wearing red. And here
got
we go.
Him.
Oh, they got him with water. It's not the Gatorade. Now he's going to turn around and look, and he's going to be mad. Oh, no, he's happy. He's happy about it. Yeah, here we go.
Looks like our guy Brad Sullivan from Dream Lending.
I thought, he just gave his quarterback his play sheet. He just gave him the play sheet out of his back pocket. So
I'm going to frame that, kiddo.
Yeah, that's so good for a card. Yeah, I thought it was going to be one of those things where they were going to hit him with Gatorade, and it was going to be like red, and it was just going to just stain everything, his hat, it's a bad look.
I'd want nothing to do with that. I would tell my kids, please do not do this.
Did you remember the one year that Belichick's dad, his dad's, I think his name is Steve, he was hugging his son after a Super Bowl, and he was like 90-something years old. They hit him with the ice water.
Ooh.
And the old man kind of, you could tell it shocked his body.
Almost got him.
Like he's holding on to his son. Mm. And the face when that cold ice, well, you see the ice and the water. I mean, and it's direct hit.
Yeah.
And his dad is like, you could feel like that maybe.
Cardiac event
might have been happening at that point in time.
Yeah, you don't want to play around with those extreme temperatures with the elderly. You know, it can impact him in a bad way.
Orange just scored. They did get a touchdown, so they didn't get shut out in this thing.
Okay. A little going away present there.
There you go.
Nice little touchdown there. Probably got the backups or maybe even the third stringers in there giving a chance to play in the state title game.
There you go.
Okay, complete primer for your college football weekend is what we have here for you. Let's start in Austin where there is Arch Manning news. He's going to take a reduced house payment share. That's some sort of a revenue sharing program. I don't know if house payment share is something I need to get more familiar with.
So he's going to go from, say, $3 million guaranteed from the school to $1.5 million guaranteed?
I don't know how exactly it works, to what extent it does.
I think he's somewhere between $6 and $8 million, but he does ads.
Okay, yeah.
So he does ads. So he's still probably going to supplement his ad stuff, which will be money he gets paid. I think he's a Red Bull spokesman.
And Panini.
Panini.
Uber. Yeah.
Uber
and Warby Parker, like big brands.
There you go. Yeah. So that's about $8 million, and so he's probably going to take less from the school, maybe half, and then keep all the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying to replace a couple of starters on the offensive line. They're trying to convince Trevor Goosby that he should not turn pro. He's a star redshirt sophomore tackle. So they're trying to, you know, throw money at others. And for Arch, it's got to be worth it. I mean, if you have all those big NIL deals, you can totally cut, all, you know, all of this house share money and spread that around to other players. Because what's important, what's more important right now is not additional hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's the memories and the building the legacy of being a national champion in college. That's worth way more than millions of dollars right now.
Is the House share money now that money that was voted by the House or the Senate on each program has $20 million to spend? Is that the House share money they might be talking about?
I'm not sure. I would have to look it up.
I think that's what this is now. Now that I think about it, like they were like the remember the government got involved in this, and they said the NCAA okay, and then the NCAA said, okay, well, you could start paying the players, and each program will get X amount of money for it. So this might be what the House share is that this was voted on, and maybe he's going to take less than what he should. Well, he probably gets X amount of the $20 million, so he's probably going to cut that in order to help. That money will go back into as we were talking about.
Whatever the case, it's going to help them get more support players, and they desperately need that. And I feel like it might be worth the investment for Arch Manning. You take significantly less. Now you have better protection. Now you're able to play an efficient quarterback, and you end up being the first-round pick or the first overall pick. Right. And the guaranteed money there would more than make up for whatever you'd be willing to give back at this level. But one season, then he will be done, right? Next year he will be done?
He should be done, yeah.
Okay, what do you think of these coaches who are coaching in the playoffs while also transitioning to other schools? Man. Both the Aggies and Ducks have both coordinators doing double duties. The Tulane and James Madison head coaches are working at Florida and UCLA program building. Bama and Ohio State have coordinators going to coach at South Florida and at Oregon State. I guess it's just part of the landscape now, and maybe it's more of an even playing field than we're aware of, because how many of these programs are getting picked apart?
How about the thing at Ole Miss? You know, I mean, there are coaches that, you know, Lane Kiffin let, you know, Charlie Weiss Jr., who was the offensive coordinator now for LSU, let him back to Mississippi to go. And, man, they're trying, from what I heard, at Mississippi, they're trying to full court press to get Charlie to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, keep an eye on that. But yeah, it's that this part of it's not easy. You know, as the players, you get the vibe, you get the sense of what's going on. I mean, you're thinking like, well, do we have a chance? Yeah, we have a chance if we all play together. But you know, as soon as this game's over, if we lose, and coaches, you know, coach has gone to Florida, or coach has gone to South Florida, or coach has gone, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, as coaches, you owe it to your kids to try and give your best effort, but you also owe it to, you know, the program that just signed you to try and get that thing back on track. There's a reason why they changed the coach.
Yeah.
They need you there working. They need you there recruiting. They need you there doing NIL stuff. They need you in meetings, you know, so.
Yeah, if you're the new school, you're hate-watching them, aren't you?
You are hate-watching.
Let's get this thing wrapped up.
You are hate-watching in the worst way.
Let's go up to Norman, Oklahoma. If you're OU right now, how you feeling about John Mateer? Are you eyeballing the transfer window thinking maybe we need a different guy? Like, post-injury, he has not been the same player that captivated the nation.
Yeah, I know Jim Nagy, who's the general manager at Oklahoma. Jim was, I think he's won 3 or 4 Super Bowls, was with New England, Seattle, really good player personnel guy. He runs his team like an NFL team. He's probably looking at his quarterback situation thinking, okay, for the amount of money we're spending, do we need to get something different here? Do we need more of a different style of a quarterback? But Tier, like you say, before the injury was outstanding.
He was.
Since then, it's been a really big struggle for them as far as the way they've moved the football, the way that he's thrown the football. You know, LSU kind of had him on the ropes. He made one really big play to get that game back in Oklahoma's favor. So, yeah, I think if you're smart, you're looking at all avenues. If you go out and lose to Alabama, I think you're, you know, are you married to this guy? I don't know about that. Maybe it's like, hey, we're going to go a different direction here and let him, You know, and maybe after this too, it might be a thing where Mateer will say, yeah, you know what? I feel it. I don't need to be here anymore. And maybe he'll move on in on his own. But I think that Jim Nagy, who is that general manager, I think he's looking at all options, even though them being in the playoffs.
I do like the OU program. Obviously, a lot of people here are Boomer Sooners. Coach Venables, you know, they got a lot of good things going on with that defense. It's incredible. The over-under on this game is 40.5. It's the lowest in any college football playoff game ever. Yeah. And I'd be hammering the under.
I think Choppy hammered the over on this game.
What was this thinking?
I think he's thinking that it's the under is too low.
It's too low.
Yeah.
I just figure if it wasn't for the short fields that OU got in their game 2 months ago, they would have scored possibly under 10 points in that game.
Sure.
I think if it is going to hit the over, it is going to be Alabama scoring a ton in this one, which has happened.
I tell you, it's crazy here. Carthage has given him praise. They gave up a touchdown. They put the backups in. The quarterback fumbled the snap. Then they score on the very first play after the fumble snap. They now kick to Carthage, and they have another fumble. It looks like inside the 15-yard line. So it's 49-14, let's be honest. But there's been three straight plays where Carthage has done something ridiculous to give West Orange Stark the ball back.
Man, it seems like that Gatorade bath was
that was kind of the downfall here.
The curse. They're out there celebrating, getting a little careless with the ball, and West Orange is going to turn this into a four-possession game in the final 2 minutes. If this keeps up at this rate, it might get really interesting in the final 20 seconds.
Yeah, it might be.
Miami at the Aggies in the morning. Carson Beck is the key for me. They're undefeated when he doesn't throw two picks. The Aggies' defense is so good, and Beck's history under pressure in big games suggests he won't be able to avoid it. Aggies are a 3.5-point favorite. I'd be comfortable betting on Texas A&M.
I like Texas A&M tomorrow too. I sure do.
And I'm a big believer in teams coming off a disappointing loss.
Yeah,
you know, just focus you. That's why I want the Cowboys to lose out, have an entirely focused off season.
I think Texas A&M is one of the best teams in the country. I think if they don't lose to Texas, they're going to get a bye, and then they're going to be probably hosting in the Cotton Bowl, something like that. But I feel like that A&M. I think A&M is going to show the nation on Saturday morning that they are one of the best teams in the country, and they're going to be a problem in this college playoff. I think defensively they're really good. I think offensively with their line, their skill players, the quarterbacks playing at a high level. And I'm not just saying that because my family's there. I really do feel like that they could go on one of those kinds of runs. I know the schedule was weak. They were lucky to get out of the South Carolina game. They got beat by Texas. I get all that. I just think they got too much talent. Now, maybe the whole coaching situation with all the rumors and guys leaving and going to other jobs has taken the focus away from this. But I think the talent is, man, watching their tape has been really impressive.
Do you feel similarly about Texas Tech?
I feel like Texas Tech is probably one of the and because Joey McGuire is one of our friends. I think they're so well coached. I think the thing that might hold Tech back, and we'll see, is the quarterback play. How is the quarterback play going to and can you withstand the pressure that's going to happen in this game? But Tech's got some talent as well. I don't know if they're as talented as Texas A&M is, though. But I think they're just as maybe even better well coached.
We got Ole Miss Tulane tomorrow at 2:30, then James Madison at Oregon. You have a 17.5-point spread and a 21.5-point spread in Eugene. I just hope this is the last year that we are having to endure this kind of a thing. Like, how unlucky is it if you're OU, Bama, A&M, Miami? Like, you actually have to play a legitimate opponent here in this round, and now because they're ranked just a little bit ahead of you based on somebody's subjective opinion, they get to play teams that are very significant underdogs against you. To be exposed to one of these teams in the college football playoff, it's like, okay, that's neat. But for them to give us two of these, I hope it absolutely blows up in their face.
I don't think they ever intended two of these teams to be in. I don't think that was the case, but here we are. I mean, it would have been, It would have been nice if some of the other teams, I mean, but there were some teams that held their own fate in their hand and couldn't get it done, you know, late in the season. And that's the problem. But to be honest with you, I'd love to see Tulane and James Madison. I'd love to see James Madison get in there, and all of a sudden they have no care in the world, and they onside the opening kickoff, and they, you know. Yeah.
They both have aggressive defenses. They're going to try to force mistakes.
Just play, go for every fourth down.
Yeah.
Just coach the game in an unorthodox manner.
Yeah.
And make it uncomfortable as you can for Oregon until they figure things out, and then you're down by three scores.
I mean, it happens all the time in sports where the better team overlooks the opposition.
Yeah.
The opposition punches them in the face in the first half, yeah. And then the confidence starts to become a factor, and the whole idea starts to be like, oh my goodness, are we really going to lose this game? And it becomes, you know, kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy in that way. So, I mean, I'm with you. I want the blowouts to happen or the Cinderella story to happen. The worst case scenario would be they win by 14 points or something, and things go as planned, and there's really no shock or drama of it.
West Orange touchdown.
Okay, how much time's left here in this? Oh,
we
bad got. Boy?
We're right at. I think we just did the 2 minute warning.
Minute 53 to go. West Orange trying to make it a 28 point game. Is they're finishing in a flurry? At least they get
trying.
To have some fun and some highlights to look back on. Yeah. If nothing else, but Carthage is just a couple of minutes away now from their 11th state championship game. All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Let's go out to AT&T, and Nick Harris, Star Telegram's going to join us to talk all things football here coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back, Nation. The West Orange Stark Mustangs streak of three touchdowns in a row is come to an end as the onside kick didn't make it the requisite 10 yards.
Didn't make it.
And Carthage will take over here with a minute 53 to go in the fourth quarter. They're gonna win this game and win their 11th state championship. All right, it's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We'll go out to the stadium here as Nick Harris, Star Telegram, is standing by. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's a football Friday. You got a lot going on here between high school, college, and the pros, and a proper football man, Nick Harris, joining us now here in the G-Bag Nation. How's it going out there, buddy?
Doing fantastic, fellas. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing wonderful. What are you hearing about Trayvon Diggs? Is he going to play Sunday?
Yeah, sounding like he will be activated tomorrow. Obviously, tomorrow is the deadline for his 21-day window to be opened. And it sounds like he's not only going to play on Sunday, but play quite a bit. He'll be on a snap count, but overall should get a good look at Trayvon Diggs, especially with Deron Bland's injury. It definitely helped usher him in, but I think even if Bland was healthy, you would have seen Diggs on the field on Sunday, granted, given how his week of practice has gone.
Is there any way of knowing how good he's going to be? What's your gut telling you?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way of knowing. I think, you know, Trayvon has kind of had a chip on his shoulder over the course of the last couple of weeks with this process. So, you know, I think he'll have the right intention, you know, and I think that's probably what the staff has been trying to pull out of him over the course of the last few weeks. And, you know, I thought Schottenheimer mentioned it today pretty candidly, saying that, you know, he's having fun out there this week. You know, he's running around, smiling with his guys. I think there was just maybe not enough of the first couple of weeks. And, you know, I think the intention is there from Trayvon. But no way to know, you know, what his performance will look like. You know, if it's judged off of, you know, the last couple of seasons, you know, there's only so much to expect. But it'll be good to see him in these final three games regardless.
Nick, you know, with the situation, are you glad that it's kind of over? Or are you just thinking, oh, this is just, it's over for now, and then we're going to have to deal with stuff in the off season? Or how do you feel about the way this thing has kind of gone, taken the path it has?
Yeah, it's, I mean, as a reporter, you know, there's a lot of things that get dragged on around this team for sure.
Sure.
But, you know, with this specific situation, I think that's fair to say. We all knew the end would come on Saturday because the window either had to be closed or, excuse me, he would have either been activated or not activated on Saturday. So we knew that was coming. But I still think it's a foregone conclusion that Trayvon Diggs is going to be released this offseason. I don't see how they keep him on their books. And even if they do, they are going to have to figure out how to drastically change what his contract looks like. I just don't see that happening. Trayvon Diggs now represents himself. He does not have an agent. And so there's I just don't see him back in Dallas next season unless there is some drastic financial component to, you know, what a contract restructuring could look like that I can't foresee right now.
Nick, what does it mean to you when a defensive coordinator goes from field to box in week 16?
Yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, a last saving grace being like, hey, you know, if you go up there for 3 weeks and things look really good, at least you have a saving point when these conversations happen in a few weeks about your job status. So, you know, Eberflus talked about it. Schottenheimer talked about it, about how they'll be quicker to make defensive adjustments from upstairs and they'll be able to see things a little bit clearer, or at least Eberflus will be. I think it's kind of, you know, the last half-court shot here to try and give him some saving grace whenever this conversation does happen in the offseason about what his job status will look like. But, you know, we're going to see. This hasn't happened since, obviously, Dan Quinn was defensive coordinator here, but, you know, that's what his standard has been whenever he has been a coordinator instead of a head coach. You know, I'm curious to see how it looks like. One fascinating aspect of this whole ordeal that I'm also interested by is Aaron Whitecotton being the guy on the sideline that'll be able to handle the individual adjustments and be able to handle, you know, the players coming to him on the sideline with feedback. I'm curious to see how he handles those responsibilities, just because I think regardless of what happens with the Eberflus, I think Aaron Whitecotton cutting his back next season. I just wonder what type of role he would be back in, and potentially is he a defensive coordinator candidate? And I don't know if I would go that far right now, but I am curious to see how he handles these responsibilities, no doubt.
Well, Nick, you can call me any name you want, but I kind of feel like that Eberflus has taken a lot of flack for things.
Yeah.
I haven't exactly been impressed with what Aaron Whitecotton in this defensive line has done. I know we talk a lot about what happens with the offensive line, and they've had some struggles over there. But why do I feel like if I brought a player in on the offensive line, he might have a chance to develop? I haven't seen the same kind of thought with what Aaron Whitecotton's done on the defensive side of the ball. Can you talk me off that one?
Yeah, well, first off, your name, I'm going to call you beautiful, Brian. Secondly, with Aaron White, I think that's completely justified. I think, you know, you look at specifically the edge production, it has not quite been what you expected, even after the Micah Parsons trade. I will say the defensive interior, yes, they've added some elite bodies in the middle there, so you hope to get production out of that. But he is getting production out of the guy that he stood on the table for in Quinnen Williams. And Solomon Thomas was a guy that he stood on the table for as well. Donovan Ezeraku during the draft process stood on the table for him, and he's been their most productive edge, even though there are some numbers that I think he could have improved, especially toward the back half of the season here. I'm with you. Has it been perfect for Whitecotton? No. But I think you've seen some of the positive growth that some of the young guys have had, and I think you're going to see that kind of develop a little bit better when they can build some edges around these defensive interior guys. Right now, the only guy under contract next year is Donovan Ezeraku in the edge group, so they're going to have to rehaul that entire position room. I think Aaron Whitecotton would be the guy to do that, just based on his experience and what he's been able to get out of guys, not only here in Dallas in the defensive interior, but across the entire defensive line during his time in New York.
Nick, I know you work on the draft harder than anybody I've ever been around. If I gave you a chance to draft your best offensive tackle or your best edge, which one you taking?
Oh, man. Man, that's a tough one. Just because there's so many good right tackles in this draft specifically.
Yeah.
I would go edge. It would be tough. I would have to have a deep conversation about it, but I think I would probably come to the conclusion of edge, just because if you could have a dominant edge next to these defensive interior guys that you have on the roster right now, it'll be able to have a trickle-down effect for that entire defense. And I think the defense as a whole is obviously a bigger problem than the tackle issue. Even though the tackle issue, it's certainly something you're going to have to address this offseason. Not so sure Terrence Steele doesn't get the same treatment Trayvon Diggs does, but nevertheless, it would be a tough conversation, no doubt.
Do you have confidence in Nate Thomas at all, from what you've seen? Or is that – I know less about Guyton than I do about Nate Thomas, I feel like, the way the things have kind of played out.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I think they need to have a veteran swing tackle in there just to compete with Nate Thomas. Hakeem Adeniji, I think they wanted him to be that guy. And yeah, he's had a couple of starts this year, and he's been fine. I'd be curious to see what Nate Thomas looks like against a guy that's been in the league 7-8 years and has had starting experience over the course of consecutive seasons. Nate Thomas, I think there's been times where you see the length, you see the power that they like to rave about, but you also see some of the instincts not quite being there. I think one of the more indicting plays that he's had was a couple of weeks ago when he goes inside and the pass rusher just has a free lane to the quarterback and gets hit on that play. And so there's going to be some instinct things that he's definitely going to have to touch up this offseason. But Schottenheimer talked about it today, and I thought it was really fascinating too. He's like, I can't wait to get to the offseason, cut up Nate's film because we got so much of it, and point at, hey, you did this great, and hey, you did this bad.
Agree.
And go attack the offseason with it. They feel really confident that he'll be able to attack the offseason with that and be better in year three.
It's Nick Harris with you from the Star Telegram and the G-Bag Nation. I mean, so many ways we could take this from here. Let's talk offseason free agency and what could happen before they get to the draft. Do you feel like the Cowboys are going to be more aggressive? Is Trey Hendrickson at all a realistic possibility for this team that's been, like, allergic to impact free agents for two decades?
Yeah, I would love to be able to tell you about name-specific guys. Unfortunately, we're just at a point in the year where, even if I asked about those things, like, yeah, let's wait until we get to January, February, But I think with this team, considering how they approached free agency last year, I think you could see a similar type approach. Like, I don't think they're going to be big spenders, but I think they will be very selective with, the guys that they do go after. Like a Javonte Williams type from last year. They identified him before free agency started, and they swung and got him on day one. I think you can maybe see a similar type thing at linebacker or safety or corner if they end up finding one of those guys that they really like. I think a guy like Quincy Williams would probably be the first name that jumps out to mind, just because there's a lot of connections, not only with Quinnen Williams, but with Aaron Whitecotton, and Quincy Williams on an expiring contract. That just makes sense. That's just me connecting dots at this point in time. But I'm just going to go ahead and throw you a name there, Gavin.
Appreciate it.
Nick, have you ever seen the movie Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Unfortunately, I haven't. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, they're standing at the gates with pitchforks and torches and all that, and they're demanding that Quasimodo turn himself over. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I could see people lined up in front of the star demanding that Jerry Jones come down. You know, they can't just be Quinton Williams. They can't just do that. They can't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I think just given how this team has approached these last couple of seasons, I don't think they see as many holes as we do, especially on the defensive side.
Well, then they all need to go in the press box. They all need to go upstairs and watch the game from the coach's box. All right?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if you see both safeties back in those starting roles next year, just because of what Donovan Wilson has given them from Monday to Saturday, and Malik Hooker has played better over the course of the back half of the season. Not great, given.
Texans.com, here I come.
No, but that's just kind of my view. I think you will see a complete rehaul or retool of the linebacker position, though.
Okay.
The linebacker position is one that behind the scenes has given everybody a lot of frustration, not only fans, but the team definitely senses it too. Would not surprise me if DeMarvian Overshown, Shamar James, maybe Maris Leafau are the only guys back on the roster next year.
Okay, what are we doing at running back? Is anything of substance going to change there? Do you like the idea of Blue and Moffa getting some run here in the last 3 weeks to show what they can do?
You're talking just over the course of these next 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be curious to see if Blue or Moffa find their way in. I think Malik Davis has hammered that spot down, though. Until Malik Davis gives them a reason not to play him or he gets hurt, knock on wood, I think he'll have that roster spot. And when it comes to Blue or Moffa, they would have to figure out how to make their way onto the roster via special teams. Those guys just haven't had that experience yet. So as of right now, I don't think you'll see Blue or Mafah down the stretch.
How about Javonte Williams? Chances he comes back?
Yeah, Javonte's going to be a clear go for Sunday, and should be on his full pitch count that he's had throughout the year. And they've continuously given him more reps as the back half of the season has gone on. I think you'll see that 20-touch mark probably get hit again for Javonte Williams.
How do you approach his free agency?
Yeah, that's going to be a weird one, right? Do you sign him to a 2-year, 3-year deal? I wonder how much hesitance they have toward a long-term type contract like that. But, you know, Jerry said on your guys' airwaves this morning that, you know, he wants Javonte Williams to be a Cowboy. And there's a lot of that same rhetoric behind the scenes as well. I could see a 2-year, $10 million type deal. He's on a 1-year, $3 million. I think he's earned, you know, a higher paycheck. I'm just curious to see, you know, how much they do end up giving him. He still does have the injury history at the end of the day. You know, he did have a fantastic season, but he's entering the wrong side of his 20s, which, you know, for a running back, that may as well be you may as well be in your 40s. So I'm curious to see how they approach the Javonte Williams negotiations.
Okay, and then speaking of injuries, are they going to sit anybody down once they're eliminated officially?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going to do so. Schottenheimer has said it all week. We want to win. And if we want to win, we're going to have our best guys out there. It's funny because he says that, and yes, it's true. But I think there's also, you know, a look at the Deron Bland situation and being like, okay,
exactly.
If they were in a 1 or a 2 seed situation, would he be shut down for the year? I don't know the exact medicals of what his situation is dealing with. But, you know, I look at that. And then I think of a guy like Tyler Smith, who's battled that knee issue since training camp. I wonder if maybe he gets set down for a game or two. And so that's where I would start to look at some of these things. But as far as like Dak, who has been healthy for all of the year, I don't see him getting pulled. I don't see a Javonte Williams or George Pickens or CeeDee Lamb or anything like that.
How sure are you that Deron Bland will be 100% next August?
Yeah, it's tough to say, right? And especially with it being the same foot. Apparently with the way that this procedure is done, the fifth metatarsal procedure that he had during the 2024 season, apparently a follow-up procedure is pretty standard. But again, I think they probably expected it not to happen, obviously, during the course of a season and him to battle, you know, pain and injury with it throughout the season. He missed a couple of games earlier in the year. Not super confident, but, you know, it's also going to depend on who his DC is. And if the DC can get the most out of him, I think there's a little bit of both there as well.
How much are your eyes on this college football playoff that's about to get underway as you're sitting there at AT&T watching the high school games?
Yeah, definitely excited. I think this one tonight will probably be the best one that we get all weekend in Oklahoma and Alabama. Obviously, the A&M Miami game will be great, too. And, man, I'm rooting for one of these G5 programs.
There you go.
At least make it interesting just because they're getting so much hate and getting so much flack. Man, respect these G5 programs. Now, I get it. You want to see Vanderbilt or Notre Dame in, and it doesn't matter. They're not winning the national championship either. So let's have some fun with these G5 programs, too.
Right on, Nick. Thanks so much for your insights. Terrific job as always, and we'll catch up with you soon. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you, fellas. Y'all have a great one.
Salute. You can watch him, read him, Nick Harris, Star Telegram on Twitter, and on your Cowboys beat now for 3 or 4 years. He's just done an outstanding job.
He is a really good evaluator, too. So if you're following him, draft coverage is really good with him as well.
Right on. Always looking for more of that. All right. It's the G-Bag Nation. You're on the Fan. We'll find out what Fred and Blake have cooking for you. Fan After Dark Crosstalk coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. I have to chat with you about my friends at PermaPure Foundation Repair before we do any of that, though, because, you know, our home is our number one investment for most of us. And if you have any foundation concerns at the house right now, you can do no better than call my friends, the Dirt Nerds at PermaPure Foundation Repair. I'll get you that number. Go to dirtnerdsdfw.com. But yeah, especially here, you know, football season's a good time to do an evaluation as the football's heating up, the temperatures in DFW are dropping. And what cold snaps do with the shifting soil, especially when you get some heavy rains coming along with that, that is the number one cause of unexpected foundation issues. And you don't want to fumble when it comes to choosing your home's foundation repair pros. You want to call the Dirt Nerds at PermaPure Foundation Repair. Let me give you that number, 844-919-7276, dirtnerdsdfw.com. Early signs of foundation damage are no joke. If you see cracks in your walls, sticky doors, uneven floors, the guys at Permapier Foundation Repair is the only guys you need to call. They do it all, from slabs and pier and beam repairs to foam concrete lifting and drainage solutions. Permapier are experts at jobs that the competition doesn't even know exists. And if you put it off, it can end up costing you significantly more down the line. So you'll find out why I only trust Permapier Foundation Repair. The great news is they're Tolos. And when you schedule your free inspection right now, you'll qualify to score a free $50 gift card. Again, 844-919-7276. When shift happens, call the Dirt Nerds at Permapier Foundation Repair of Texas.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The salute. All right, end of the weekend we go. Let's hand this thing off to the Fan After Dark. Fred and Blake are cooking up 4 hours of sports content here for you on a Friday night. Gentlemen, how the heck are you?
Elated, awake, and alive.
I don't think your microphone. You might have to turn this guy's microphone on.
Mike is not on.
What number is that?
I'm just talking into the ether.
There he goes.
There we go.
Fun fact. Very first time I ever tried to talk, you guys were at Whataburger. It was me, Reggie, and C.A., and I was sitting in my usual spot with where Bobby Belt sat, and I tried to talk, very similar to how I just did. Didn't turn the on button on my mic, and wasn't talking for my very first.
You weren't being heard.
I wasn't being heard. CA ran around Reggie to come turn my mic on.
Yeah,
because I didn't know what I was doing.
Did you guys hear the new Fan Phenom's about to make his debut? I think on some weekend programming. I heard CA talking with us about Tim earlier today.
No, I think he's making his debut. If memory serves on New Year's Day.
Oh, nice.
With Will.
Okay.
Unless he's doing something unless he's filling in for him this weekend.
What's his scouting report? His name.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Eric, and I don't know what his name. Eric C. I don't know what his last name is, but Casares or something.
Obviously, you're going to give him a nickname. You give everybody a nickname.
Producers. I
just want to say thanks to Jackie and Gav.
That's right.
Say thanks to every one of your guys has got
every,
a nickname.
Every guy has a nickname. That's exactly right.
We got the creator.
Trevor the Creator. Trevor. Although that was more of a group effort because he didn't have a Twitter handle. So we were all trying to figure out, like, okay, what do you know? You got to come up with a name.
Dylon.
Well, Dylon is for anybody, and Gavin will appreciate this. Anybody that remembers Dylon from the Chappelle Show.
Okay.
Who's the five hottest rappers of all time? Okay. Dylon.
Is he the one that won the kid in the dice game?
No, that was Tron.
Okay, that's right. That was Tron.
That was Tron.
Yeah, another great character.
No,
great
show. Was the Mad Real World.
Okay.
No, not the Mad Real World. That was the P. Diddy making the band where he was P. Diddy.
That was a heck of an episode.
That was.
Yeah, they were all great.
No, they were. I mean, come on.
What advice would you have for the Fan Phenom, Blake, as a guy that emerged from those ashes to crush and dominate?
Get a partner.
Get a Monday through Friday evening show.
That's cold-blooded.
I'll see you tomorrow for two seconds.
Just keep your head down. And
shut up.
You know, be yourself. People will accept you or not. Most people won't. But that's because you're in a spot.
Not initially,
because maybe you're in a spot that they don't understand. So to the Fan Phenom, listen, I've already met you and done a show with you. I thought you did a phenomenal job, and you got hired for a reason.
Be sure to ask Blake if he thought he should have been the one to win.
Y'all are messy.
Blake, how old is too old for you to date?
For me personally?
Yeah.
I don't think... I would date someone 35 and younger.
Okay. Nine years.
So you're 26. You'd go 35 and under?
Yeah. Like, I would seriously date someone if they were 34 and we were really interested in each other.
The Cooper to Gene story with him dating this WWE gal, she's 42.
And how old is Coop? I don't know.
He's 22. That's a 20-year difference.
Because to me, that's not dating. Let's be honest. We know what that is.
But isn't, I mean, smoking hot at any age. They can be
agreed,
hot still
but
at
what
42.
Are they talking about? Not talking about football.
Life.
Wrestling. They're not talking about life.
She might know something about Eagles secondary play.
She might. But see, that's the thing.
Sure,
when you got
the first
that,
time she's banged an Eagle.
When you got that much, y'all are... Are you y'all are just saying whatever comes to y'all's head.
Are you under the impression that people still communicate in long-term relationships?
You think so?
In long-term, what do you mean long? Oh, yeah. Okay, long-distance relationship?
No, long-term relationships.
I would think so, right?
Oh,
hopefully. That's what I read.
Jalen Green and what, Brittany, whatever. Not Brittany Renner, but.
I think it is Brittany, yeah, I think so. I don't know.
No, I don't think it is. Remember,
are we talking seriously? I thought we were being serious for a second. Are we just talking like
serious
relationships,
yeah.
Air quote?
Yeah, we're being serious.
Jalen Green's been with his 20. I mean,
but they're not together.
They are. No, they got a kid together. They're still together.
No. They're together, but they're not hanging out, Fred. Come on. We know this.
I mean, they just put a video, put a clip out.
Fred, let's not be fooled by the internet. They're not actually doing day-to-day life together. That is just they're quote-unquote together and sleeping together, which is fine. I don't care. I'm just saying building a family, going through Thanksgiving, Christmas presents. We're actually like – intent to marry? That's not happening in any of these athletes that we're talking about. What?
So is that how you're going about in your dating life?
Yeah.
Everybody's a candidate to get married?
The next person that meets my mom is going to be the last.
Okay.
I'm not just, I mean, I don't have to date to hang out with someone, so I'm not dating just to date. You know?
The other gal met the mom.
And that's why I said
what did your mom think?
She didn't like her. From the jump.
Your mom's usually got got a pretty good eye for stuff.
I thought opposite of mom. I said, mom didn't know best. This one's different. And I was wrong. Mom was correct. Yeah. And, you know.
I think you were the only one that was thinking that, actually.
Yeah, your mom.
Anything else, Fred? Got a bunch to say today.
Your mom's pretty savvy, I'd say.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And then we were told to ask you as well about what's your perspective on dating ladies with children.
Yeah, you don't date ladies with children for me. That's a no-no for me. Just because I selfishly want to raise a son or a daughter that has my imprint. And that's just me. Anybody can make their own choice. Be the stepfather, more power to you. I, Blake, don't want to raise someone else's child.
I respect that.
I don't mind taking care, babysitting, hanging out with, but I want the child want it to be Blake's imprint. Because they're going to be representing me out in the world. Blake's your dad, yeah. Right? Well, why do you act like that? Well, it's not really my kid.
Bennett lived with his mom, mm-hmm. And I said, the minute you talk about getting married and somebody being in that house, he's coming to live with me.
Mm.
I'm not having some man raise my son.
Yep. Good for you. Yep.
And she never got married. Never did.
Even now? Even though Bennett's out the house?
Even now, yep. Bennett's out of that. Well,
you ruined her.
No.
She could get married.
She could get married now, but Bennett's out on his own.
Yeah.
And so, but she did. I told her, like, I'll tell you what, my ex-wife, she dated J.T. Springer's dad, who works here.
Oh, yeah. From Jack FM.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that. That freaked me out to start out with. I was like, cool. I mean, hey, oh, yeah. Oh, my son works with you. And I'm like, who's your son? I'm like, oh, he's like a pretty good radio guy, you know? But anyway, yeah, they don't date anymore. But I told Kathy, I said, listen, the minute you start talking about marriage and bringing somebody in the house, Bennett's coming to live with me.
See, I love hard, and I want to keep that same thought process up when I'm raising my child. I don't do it half in, half out. Oh, it's not my child, so I'm not going to do this. I'm going to discipline my child, for better or worse, and hopefully they put a good imprint out in the world. That's Blake's greatest hope, is having a good child.
I think you will.
Doubt about it. It's your legacy. All right, so sports, man. Mavs get a win over the Detroit Pistons.
Come on,
Mavs.
The East leading Pistons. What's this team's potential when Kyrie is back? I might have recklessly said earlier.
Second best team in the West.
Could be the second best team in the West.
I would disagree, but I would say that they are playing good basketball now. And I'll say this. Cooper Flag keeps ascending, that take might not be as crazy. Because my thought process have been as Cooper Flag kind of, I don't want to say hitting a rookie wall, but being a very good rookie, not being like, I'm going to make an All-NBA team. If he keeps like ascending and all of a sudden he's dropping 23 a game consistently. He's
playing like an all-star.
Then, at that point, it's like, okay, all bets are off. This guy's kind of going above and beyond, is going to blow out the Rookie of the Year award. But I assume he'll kind of have his ups and his downs, his 12-point games, his 13-point games, a week where he can't hit a three, and his team will go on a five-game losing streak.
It's been a while. I mean, he's had that week.
Yeah. He's had two and a half months of it.
He hasn't been a great three-point shooter. And we had someone text in yesterday, guys, AD, even though he didn't score at half, you got to look at the advanced numbers. No. We're not looking at advanced numbers for a guy we're paying a supermax contract and Anthony Davis who traded Luka for. That should be all four of us casually turn on our TV and see him dominate in a basketball game, just like we do with any other star in the league. I don't have to be like, well, if you look at his third quarter PER rebounds, like, no, I shouldn't have to dive deep into Anthony Davis. He was not good yesterday. Even though
he was sick, right?
He was good down the stretch, though, defensively.
15 and 14 is pretty dang solid.
But at halftime, he's got zero, and the guy is Gordon. Guy he's guarding has 17, and Jalen Duran. You end up letting 70 paint points. That is not good. Allowing 70 points in the paint. So is Anthony Davis maybe not as bad as everyone on Twitter and maybe on the text line, maybe us sometimes like to say? Yeah, I'm sure there's some gray area in between. But I shouldn't have to go through advanced analytics to see how good our supermax players playing. Cooper Flagg's
Or to make excuses for him, right?
How about the eyeball test, right?
And it's not there with AD then. If we're going eyeball test, no. The stats help him more than the eyeball test. Not there. Like, he is a good interior defender. I don't think he gets enough credit for that when he locks in. But overall impact to the game, I don't need just interior defender. There's plenty of those.
He's been wildly inconsistent.
You pay $10, $12 million to be interior defenders. I need you to dominate almost every play every quarter if we're paying you this and traded Luka for you. And he doesn't do that consistently. He just does not do that.
No, he's never going to, but he's still one of the better defensive players in the league. He's just inconsistent offensively. Mm-hmm.
This is a playoff team with Kyrie?
If you re-rack this thing, yes.
Just because the West has kind of been all up in the point. I could see them finishing 6 or 7 if they kept playing this, but what does that do, guys? Just say we made the playoffs?
Hey, if you don't trade these guys away, there's a big enough sample size and a big enough eyeball test now that they could, this year. But I was saying, if you took this team and made it whole with Kyrie Irving and started the season again, I think they'd be a top four team in the West. This team can defend their balls off. You know, all you need right now is a shot creator and a point guard, a floor general, and you got enough of that in Nimhard right now to do it in the regular season.
Shout out the two-way guy. He wasn't even drafted, saving your point guard season.
Yeah. That's incredible. And if there's another dude named Nimhard out there, you might want to draft him.
At the very least.
Okay, what do you have to promote for what's coming up on the show?
We got some Clayton Adam. He spoke. Blake listened to the press conference today. We don't get to hear Clayton very often, but one of the things, and shout out to Joe Hoyt, because the question I've been asking is, okay, so what is Clayton doing then, right? Like, as far as keep talking about these adjustments that are not being made, Clayton kind of touches on that to some extent today. So we'll play that. Of course, obviously the college football. Khaki's Kicks. Shout out to our boy Khaki Kevin. And then more Friday hijinks. Fan After Dark.
Here comes Fred and Blake. Thanks to Jacob Ray. Did a great job today filling in for Lucius Alexander. I believe that was Five Flawless.
He did a great job. Yeah, absolutely.
For Broadus, we'll be back on Monday. I'm Gavin Dawson, and you're going home with the G-Back Nation. At ease.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.